Hi friends, it's Jenny. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Enea Sisters. As you know, Enea Sisters was created to help you discover your true self. How do you do that? Well, a great place to start is with our online quiz. It's free and it only takes about 2 minutes. Even better is joining our sisterhood group coaching. You can do this online or in person. We meet weekly to discuss everything that's going on in your life. Each session is led by myself, Jenny, or another coach. We discuss topics like boundaries, how to succeed in life, marriage, relationships, loneliness, and so much more. Check out the calendar and join today. It is super fun and informative and very cost-effective way to gain great counsel while also becoming part of an amazing community. Thank you again for listening. Hi friends, this is Jenny with the Enea Sisters podcast, and I have Cassie here with me.
Hi.
So today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We were unable to get a type 9 on the podcast, so I am going to be a fill-in for the type 9. I'm sure there's a lot of great type 9s out there, and we just didn't know of anybody. So Cassie's going to kind of be interviewing me and ask me questions, maybe not as if I was a type 1, but kind of, and I'll just kind of decide what works. But we will definitely be giving you information on what it looks like to be a type 9.
Cool. Awesome. Let's get started.
Yay.
So what would it look like as a 9 in their earlier experiences, maybe in high school and before they've really started that integration process?
So first off, if you're a type 9, for those of you who are listening, you are someone, or the type 9 is someone who is avoiding conflict. They are known to be the peacemakers, and although that's a little misleading, as Cassie and I talked about before we started recording, sometimes they are trying to keep the peace by avoiding conflict. So as a child, what that could look like is maybe your parents are fighting, or maybe you are being bullied at school, or you're seeing someone being bullied. Your action in those situations would be to not say anything. It would be to shut down, to be quiet, to avoid anything that would allow you to be part of the conflict, so that you don't have to engage, so that you're not going to be a part of something that could hurt you, that could create loss or separation of relationship, that could peg you as part of the problem. From that stems a number of things. There's a lot of layers there, but I think from a childhood experience, you start to push feelings down. You start to push things that may need to be exposed for fear of conflict with parents, with teachers, with anyone of authority, and also with peers. You may not be the person that you want to be, the person that you actually are, because you fear being rejected. You fear creating conflict. You fear the conversation with your peers that might go in a different direction that you don't really desire. So there's a lot of ways we could go here. Again, I'm not a 9, but this is something that we see a 9 talk about a lot. And a lot of their journey surrounds kind of hiding their feelings, hiding things that are deep within, just because they want to get along.
It sounds like they're very much in like self-preservation mode as well.
Yeah. I think we see self-preservation arise in all of the types, but from an outsider's perspective, it's definitely self-preservation. And we haven't really talked about this per se. I've mentioned it a couple times, but just for the listener, the 9 is repressing their gut instinct. So they're repressing the instinctual behavior that the 8s, 9s, and 1s have. We've discussed that 2s, 3s, and 4s are in feelings, 5s, 6s, and 7s are in thinking, and 8s, 9s, and 1s are in doing or instinct, and 9s tend to repress that. For whatever reason, they feel the need to not act on their instinct. And with that comes the repression of anger, right? So instead of acting out in anger and allowing anger to arise to the surface so that they can deal with it, they're suppressing it, which creates a whole number of issues later in life.
So what might it look like a 9 projecting themselves onto others?
So when a nine is projecting, they are seeing other types doing what they're doing, which is protecting, which is avoiding conflict, which is, preserving that inner peace mm-hmm. that they really desire. And of course, when we talk about projection, we're talking about you only know what you know. So nines only know what they know. Right. And they only know that everybody else might be also self-preserving. Mm-hmm. So they may be thinking, great, we're all doing this great thing. So when they see someone acting out in anger or acting out in fear or shame, they may be surprised. And it may cause them to double down on what they're already doing, because it's creating chaos in a world where they're trying to create peace, even if it's a false version of peace, right? Mm-hmm. If it's something that scares them or blinds them in a way where they didn't see this coming, because maybe they don't know this person very well, or maybe they're in a social circumstance where they can't run from this.
Right.
And they're confronted with anger or shame or fear in a way that they are now having to deal with it. It could be the most frightening thing in the world. Hmm. And like I said, if they're projecting themselves onto other people, seeing someone that isn't that is going to be shocking.
Mm-hmm. One thing I keep thinking of, just because I am a mom of three, and my kids definitely are siblings that have a lot of conflict. Uh-huh. What might a nine look like as a mom or a parent trying to handle their children who have a lot of conflict?
So I think, unlike the two, we've talked about the mistypes, and nines and twos mistype a lot. Mm-hmm. So unlike the two, who is people pleasing, mm-hmm. saying what you want or what they think you want to hear, mm-hmm. a nine is people merging. And so what that could look like with children is, I'm going to be like my sister, I'm going to be like my brother, even though I do not like what they are doing, or I do not like who they are even. But they seem to be getting away with a lot in terms of not being punished, lack of arguments, all of the things I desire. So I'm just going to be like them, mm-hmm. Which obviously is creating a false narrative, mm-hmm. you know, in themselves, for the parent. It can look like the golden child, right? Mm-hmm. So it could look like this child that just does no wrong because they aren't being who they are. I think as a parent, if we're seeing this, quote, golden child appear, it should be a red flag. Mm-hmm. It should be something where we're questioning intent, we're questioning character, we're mm-hmm. questioning, just like we would with a child who's acting up.
Right.
You know, as parents, we want to know our children. And if we're seeing this pattern, this behavior of a child just always being like someone else, that is mm-hmm. something that we need to address. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard to see, so we have to flesh it out.
Right. And yeah. it'd be hard as a parent to get to truly know your child if yeah. they are just kind of being a chameleon yeah. with whoever
yeah, exactly.
is around.
Exactly. So. And no fault to the parent, because we're all individuals. Mm-hmm. We're all trying our best. As parents, I do think we have the role of helping build their character, especially if they're little. If we're talking about under five, for sure. Mm-hmm. But we're always a parent here, right? Once a parent, always a parent. So mm-hmm. no matter how old they are, you're continually shaping their character, helping define who they are and how they play in the world well with others, mm-hmm. Even if they're 25.
Right, exactly. If a nine discovered their type, what are some adaptations do you think that would be helpful? And being self-aware that they could adapt.
Yeah, so a nine adapting into the world outside of themselves or within themselves is going to best look like someone who is, first of all, owning up to who they are, mm-hmm. right? We all have to do that. We all have different personalities. We all need to understand that we are uniquely different, and that is what makes us so beautiful as people. The diversity of who we are as human beings. For a nine, because they desire this peace, this lack of inner turmoil and lack of conflict, I think they have to accept conflict. In order for them to become a well-rounded person, they have to know that conflict is a part of relationship.
A healthy part of relationship.
Exactly. Like, Who doesn't love a little constructive criticism?
Me. You know?
No, I'm kidding. It helps develop who we are and define how we become as a society. So if right. you want to be a player in any relationship, you have to address the idea that conflict is going to arise. Mm-hmm. We're not robots. Mm-hmm. You're never going to be in relationship with someone who is exactly like you, even with two nines. Mm-hmm. And right. so I think the first step is accepting that conflict is real, that I am okay being in conflict. And that's going to be huge. Some mm-hmm. of us might be listening and think, this is ridiculous. I'm in conflict all the time. It's not a big deal.
Right.
Right. I mean, even as a one and a two, we're in conflict mm-hmm. and it's a normal part of our lives. Mm-hmm. But for a nine, it is such a part of escapism, you know, that they've gotten accustomed to, mm-hmm. that it can be the scariest thing in the world mm-hmm. to address just the idea of going into conflict, let alone right. like what it's about and who it's with.
Right.
Which is a whole nother level.
Right.
And of course, there are bigger conflicts than others. So if I'm talking to a nine who has just discovered that this is something they need to address, I would say take it easy. Like, mm-hmm. Go easy on yourself and pick a person who, if the conflict doesn't end well, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. This person is not a huge part of your inner circle or daily life.
Right.
So the...
It probably won't mean that much to you tomorrow when you wake up.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's not as much skin in the game relationally.
Right.
And then step up. Go to the next level. Go to and then the next level. And then if you're married, go to that level. Or a parent or a close best friend. That's going to be leveling up.
Right.
To become the best version of yourself.
Cool. What are some flags or some signs that a nine's going into disintegration?
So the disintegration of a nine is always going to be when you see yourself backing down those steps, going back into yourself and avoiding mm-hmm. conflict. This could be with, you know.
What number do they go to?
So they go to six.
Okay.
And they go to three when they're integrating. So when they're going into six, they are deeply avoiding conflict and embracing the comfortable, withdrawn space that they can be in six. They feel justified by it because they're protecting who they are. They're protecting their inner turmoil, which can feel okay at times, right? Mm-hmm. We all create boundaries for a reason, and I think there are times for that, especially for a nine. Mm-hmm. But if you're there because you're avoiding and you're continuing to avoid, that's not a healthy place to stay.
Right.
So what that would look like is a constant withdrawal from conflict in serious relationships. So we talk about the inner circle. Those are your most serious relationships outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. That could be your spouse, parent, all of the people I surnamed. If those are the people you're continually avoiding mm-hmm. conflict with, then those are huge red flags. Mm-hmm. They need to be addressed. Even if it means just journaling about it, going into some self-care practice mm-hmm. to get you back to an average space, do whatever it takes, because those are the people that mean the most to you in the world, and you don't want to lose those relationships.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine avoiding conflict in the external world or external relationships doesn't make the conflict go away, and so it would just intensify the conflict within themselves because they're not addressing it in the outside world.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
You're spot on. Not only, like you said, is it now part of their life, it has intensified because mm-hmm. it isn't going away. And
right.
then when they go back to it, it probably has created more conflict, mm-hmm. right? More problems have been created
right.
by avoiding the conflict with a human being who you care about.
Right.
So when they are in six, it feels safe, but it's a false version of safe. Mm-hmm. So retreating into the six, like I said, it can be a great place for a boundary, but it shouldn't be a place where you stay very long.
Mm-hmm. And also, like for me, I've found sometimes when you're avoiding conflict, you know, you've made this story in your head of what the other person is thinking mm-hmm. or feeling, and you could mm-hmm. be completely off base, and
right.
you haven't given that person an
right.
opportunity to kind of set you straight
right.
because you're just avoiding it.
And I think for a nine, The best advice I could say is it's not going to be as bad as you feel or think it will be.
Mm-hmm.
You are probably worst case scenarioing, mm-hmm. if that's a word.
It is now.
You're creating worst case scenarios in your mind that may or may not exist, right? And I think, again, by releasing those false visions of what could happen,
mm-hmm.
could be just such a blessed place to be, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So releasing those, again, accepting that conflict is real, is going to get you back to that average space.
Right. So what might a nine see in their heart, body, or mind when they're heading towards integration? What would that look
like? Yeah, we love integration, right? So going to the good space. So for a nine, as mentioned, we're going into three in integration, and three for a nine is going to look very powerful and headstrong from a nine space. So instead of avoiding conflict, we're now seeing that peacemaker that we love. Mm-hmm. We're seeing someone who is wanting to create connections with others. Are they going to be public speaking? Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe it's just between them and one other person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being able to accept themselves as they are, and also the other person as they are. Mm-hmm. And going into the relationship maybe with a little bit of fear, but accepting it and being okay, and being still in that space.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a nine of all the types has such a great power of connecting people,
mm-hmm.
and providing connection for the whole world,
right.
for community and for the world. And so when they go into that power space of three, they're able to be that real peacemaker of connection, of contribution, of maybe love at times. It's such a beautiful space when a nine goes there, because it isn't a nine becoming three. It's still a nine,
mm-hmm.
with all their tools, with all the abilities to see people as they are, but without the fear of conflict,
right?
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've touched on this a lot already, but do you have anything else to add on how knowing someone was an Enneagram type nine might help them?
Yeah, I think that it's really important, as we're talking about personality and relationships, that we understand that grace is a big player here.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our days that just go the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have that disintegrating pattern. And so having grace for someone who isn't like us, I think, is just a great step for humankind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just understanding, like, these people working in and amongst us in the world, they're not like us,
mm-hmm.
you know? We're not all the same, which is so beautiful. So as a nine is working through the world, understanding that they have such a beautiful place to play within that,
mm-hmm.
within society. And their power is the peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Their power is that they have access to all the types,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people don't know. You know, as a one, I only have the five other numbers. You know, I have myself, well, five numbers total. Myself, my wings, and the numbers I go to.
Right.
Five numbers. And the nine has all the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they understand people.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have the greatest amount of empathy.
Right.
And they truly do know how to reach all of the types. So just knowing that, I think, would be pretty encouraging.
Yeah.
And hopefully help nines to kind of see themselves for the power mm-hmm. that they have within them, the power that they have to play in the world. It's a gift,
mm-hmm.
and it can be used in such a beautiful way that often gets overlooked because of the disintegrating pattern of them avoiding
right.
control. So releasing the control, grabbing that peacemaker power, I think, is it just a great space to understand who they are.
Mm-hmm. And I think with a nine, you know, we always talk about how helpful it is to know other people's motivations as well as your own motivation, but a nine probably takes it a step further of not only knowing other people's motivations, but actually being able to understand
mm-hmm.
their motivation
mm-hmm.
in a way as some of the other numbers might get stuck, like knowing you're motivated by that, but
yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. But a nine probably can really put themselves and all the other numbers, mm-hmm. shoes, mm-hmm. and understand their motivation.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why they're the greatest empaths. Mm-hmm. And going back to the heart, mind, and body, I mean, when you are driven by your heart to connect other people, you are then put into a place where you need to think about what that looks like. And then you, in your body, need to let go of the control, mm-hmm. and let go of the fear and all of the things that are keeping you from being that person for others. And I think that connects you. I know we're going to talk about self-care.
Mm-hmm. You have these questions memorized. How do you know?
I'm like, I'm pretty sure self-care comes after this.
It definitely does. So on that note, what self-care practices keep a nine centered?
So self-care, you know, we talk about self-care a lot, and we have the self-care journals, which you can purchase on our website, but self-care is going to look different depending on what you're going through, right? We talk a lot about journaling because it is centering for all nine types, and that is a great place to start. But if that's not where you are, I think getting in nature, I've heard this a lot lately, and I don't know if it's because of the busyness of this season, we're recording this during the holidays, mm-hmm. or if it's just the busyness of the world that we're in right now.
Yeah.
But getting in nature, getting out in nature has a way of grounding us. Mm-hmm. And now you might not think that a nine needs to be grounded. It may seem, if you're another type, that the nine already is grounded, mm-hmm. you know, like,
because they have such a big picture of everyone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, they're seeing everything, they're big empaths. Mm-hmm. But internally there's turmoil, mm-hmm. and that is what is coming up for them, mm-hmm. inner turmoil. Yeah. So when able to be grounded for them to let go of this control over, you know, the desire to negate conflict, going outside, being in nature, feeling the wind, touching the grass, seeing the birds, seeing the mountains, all of those things can connect them to that deeper space. Mm-hmm. Which nines are really good at, but that brings them back, right? It brings them back to their powerhouse. It brings them back to who they are. It helps remind them that the world is so much bigger than them. I think a lot of times nines, and all of us, but nines can feel like these conflicts they're trying to avoid are so huge and so out of control, and so scary. And so when they're out in nature and they get connected to something that's way bigger than who they are.
Right. Or what they're going through.
Yeah. Or what they're going through. It reminds them that they can do hard things. Mm-hmm. They can do big things. Mm-hmm. So I think definitely getting out in nature. They're in the body. So again, going back to triads, the gut triad is in the body. They're the body triad. So because they are the center of the body triad, they're the repressed. So they're the repressed in their gut, they're repressed in instincts, they're repressed in their body, which means that physically it takes them more energy to get in their body, mm-hmm. to do the things they need to do. So I would again remind them that a great self-care habit could be getting into your body, whatever that looks like. If you're in nature, hopefully you're walking, mm-hmm. or maybe you're looking at nature, but walking in nature, doing yoga, doing something that physically gets your heart rate up. Meditation is something different. We're talking about physically moving your body. I think it'd be so good for the nine, and I think it will help them get to three faster. Mm-hmm. So I would say those are the two best for a nine, and it's going to look differently depending on what you're going through, who you're going through it with, mm-hmm. And where you're at.
Awesome. Well, these next questions might be a little more difficult for you to answer, not being a nine, but if you could speculate something that a nine might think that they could have done differently in their past or might struggle with about their past, what would you speculate that could possibly be?
Yeah, so nines are withdrawn. Mm-hmm. So the nines, the fives, and the fours are all the withdrawn types. So that's a different triad than the typical triad that we talk about. But they are tethered to the past because they're a withdrawn type. So a lot of times the way they are moving in the world in their reaction is through the past.
Okay.
So they're very familiar with their past. In fact, some of them live in their past.
I could see that being like they're afraid of the conflict because the last time they were in a situation like this, this is how the conflict arose.
So exactly.
It freezes them mm-hmm. because they're looking through past lenses.
Yeah, yeah, spot on. So yeah. They're seeing, if we're going to talk about that specifically, they're seeing these traumatic triggers now, which mm-hmm. which are now triggers. They're seeing traumatic views of the past and believing that they will always be triggered by that, mm-hmm. even though that's the story they're telling themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
May or may not be true, but that's the story that's in their heads.
Right.
And that creates that, like you said, that freeze mm-hmm. or that flight or that fight, depending mm-hmm. on where they're at. Usually not the fight, mm-hmm. but definitely the
because
freeze.
Because they're the peacemaker. Yeah.
The freeze and flight. So when they're in freeze and flight, I think thinking about the past, but allowing themselves to see a different version of what it could have been is a healthy place to start. Mm-hmm. Allowing them to maybe write about what was true and what was feelings, mm-hmm. what was true of them and what was true of the other people involved. Mm-hmm. Those can all be really helpful places to start. Because again, when we're talking about the past, we're talking about memory. Mm-hmm. Memory is not the same for everyone, even the two same people that are in the memory. And so this nine may have a version of the memory that the other person has no recollection of.
Right.
Okay. So that alone is powerful. Mm-hmm. So if we can just imagine a nine now taking that information, writing out what is true, writing out what they remember, that's a great place to start. Mm-hmm. Now, if we're going to jump to the present, and if this is something that they're fearing having conflict around, and if it's the same person, which is great, but if it probably isn't, mm-hmm. but if it's a similar situation or certain things are triggering about this, walk through the memory versus the truth. And if they're both the same, great.
It's interesting because, you know, they nines are such great empaths, so they mm-hmm. can see that people are different. But to go into kind of assuming, even if the conflict possible conflict is with somebody different, assuming that that person would react the same way that someone else did, you know, is interesting that a nine would go there because yeah. they should be able to see,
yeah.
you know, possibly that it's not fair to assume that that person would react the same way that someone 10 years ago did, you
right.
know, but they, it's that fear probably that gets them a little bit stuck.
Definitely fear, especially as they're disintegrating into six, right, in the fear triad.
Yeah.
Avoiding conflict because they believe they're creating peace. All of that is kind of enmeshed into how they are arriving at the situation. It's hard for us to understand because we're not type nine.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe the type nine can't separate it. They mm-hmm. can't separate the past conflict to the present conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's where journaling and the other self-care habits can come into play.
Mm-hmm.
Now present, if they're able to get there and see this may not be as scary.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my memory is not serving me well in mm-hmm. this space. Or maybe it was and this is going to be a totally different situation.
Mm-hmm.
Retelling the story like you're kind of paraphrasing. Is a great way to enter into new relationships
mm-hmm.
or relationships with a new conflict.
Right.
Because, yeah, like you mentioned, this most likely will not be the same outcome.
Mm-hmm.
There will be conflict, but it's probably not going to be the same outcome.
Right.
And even if it was, it's okay to embrace that because you're a more integrated person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're moving into the best version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah.
What would you tell a type nine that maybe knowing their true self or knowing their type could help in their future, or what the best version of a nine could look like?
I think it goes back to what we were saying about the peacemaker. If you flip the switch and you stop avoiding conflict, but you actually are trying to create peace, you could change not only your life, but everybody around you.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that, like a
avoiding, what a superpower.
Yeah, what a superpower for sure. And the idea of avoiding conflict, that is a non-action versus actual peacemaking, which is action. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it can be scary to take action in that way, for sure. But when they do, like we've mentioned, they create connection, they create communication, they create all these beautiful things within themselves and within other people. So I think just knowing that you have that at your wheelhouse can be such a brave place to step forward. I don't know. That's what I would think.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we'll end on a fun question since it's around the holidays. Do you have a favorite Christmas tradition that you do with your family?
Should I answer this as a nine?
No, answer it as Jenny.
What would a nine's favorite Christmas tradition be? Favorite Christmas tradition. I have so many. I love traditions.
Me too.
Such a one thing too. Playing board games is a favorite thing. Playing records. I love vinyls. I love listening to old Christmas records on the vinyl while playing games and drinking eggnog. Is that like the picturesque?
That's
like
awesome.
Something like
by
that.
By a Christmas tree and snow falling outside the window.
There we go. Perfect. Done.
Yep.
What about you? What's yours?
My family has a tradition where we all have to make or bring an ornament that represents our last year. And then starting with the youngest, they get to come up and talk about their ornament and why they chose it or how it represents what they've gone through the past year. And then it just builds on the Christmas tree. And it's, you know, some people bring their report cards, or if they get their first driver's permit, they have that on the tree. And it's just, it's a fun little way to connect about what happened in the past year. So
I love that. That is so great. I might steal that. It's so neat. Well, yes, the holidays, it's all about people. That's what we're all about, is people and personality. And we're about to wrap up the year. We have one more episode, so we're probably going to record that today but air it later. But thank you again for listening. We just love that you are a part of our NES Sisters community. And if you are listening and you haven't taken a chance to jump on and get your ticket for Thrive 2024, we are doing an early bird special through Christmas. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I'm going to give you the code, so write it down. It is Early Bird 24, capitalize E for early and B for bird with the number 24. So Early Bird 24, and that will give you 20% off the tickets. We have stays, and we have just tickets to come and be a part of the all-day event. It is at a beautiful CDA Lakeview site. I cannot wait to share it with you. But yeah, that's what we have in store for the new year. And again, thank you so much for listening. Cheers.